So we're all sitting at our desk and we, you know, record at least once a week here as friends on a Zoom call. What things on your desk, what little knickknacks do you love to just have around you? Like your dice, obviously, are like something we use every single recording, but like, got any fun little knickknacks or fun little figures you like to show off?
Oh, that's so funny because, Jake, when you mentioned like, oh, we're gonna talk about desk knickknacks, I was just gonna talk about the gradual descent into chaos that my desk has. And I have no knickknacks because knickknacks are not safe here. And second, I just have a growing pile of just garbage that it just accumulates. Like I have, some of it's not garbage. Some of it's like a broken ornament that I need to fix. I have like five different eyeglass cloths. I have a old Apple headphone adapter that I still sometimes use. So it's not any joy. It's just chaos that drives me to a brink of insanity that I clear it off and stuff it in a drawer.
Good God.
So you don't have a junk drawer, you have a junk desk.
My desk is junk.
My desk is...
Wait. My desk is actual junk because this desk was getting thrown away. So yes, I have a junk desk.
junk attracts junk.
Nice. My desk is also covered in junk and bills and garbage, but I also have my hematite worry stone.
Perfect thumb
indent.
Mm-hmm. Ooh,
I love this thing. So I just sit here and flip it in my fingers.
That's definitely a fidget thing.
Yeah, I'm a big fidget toy guy. I still have my Hero Point deck card that I was given before we went virtual. Which is from the deck that you got for Christmas many years ago.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah.
Just sits on my desk. I still got this thing right in front of me. Fluid motion.
One day you'll use it.
One day. Yep. One day I'll use it. It's a very niche usage. I have to be near water.
It's been a while. It's
been a while. What else I got? Box of toothpicks. I have an old knife that I don't know where I got it because I didn't buy it, but I think I found it. It's a DeWalt knife. And it's a good, sturdy knife. I like holding it. So I play with that.
Open.
Yep, I got another.
Bounce it on the tip.
I've got another little fidget toy. This is just a rubber guy, kind of the same shape as a worry stone, but it's got like texture on both each side, and you can bend it and twist it because it's like really big, sturdy rubber.
It looks like a tongue scraper.
It kind of does look like a tongue scraper, but it's a fidget toy, I promise.
Well, I'll go next. I've got my boy on here, my boy Chen.
Oh yes.
Oh yeah.
For a second, I thought you were just gonna grab a cat.
I definitely thought I was like, oh, he's reaching on top of his computer for a cat.
No, this is so. Back when I was stupid and I thought Heroes of the Storm was a good game, my boy was Chen Storm Stout. So I got a Chen Storm Stout statue that constantly sits on top of my computer. I still love the boy, but that game is not good.
Yeah,
anymore.
Don't be ashamed of your gaming past. It was a fun time in your life, and then it became a dumb game.
Then I played literally any other MOBA and it was better.
You know what's funny is that they recently put out a patch. I don't know for what, but they updated the game recently. And in the Twitter comments, it was funny because they were like, I thought this game shut down. I was like, oh, Jesus, dude.
Yeah, I was about to say, I thought it shut down.
It was funny because I actually recently played it again and I played a game as Chen and Muradin. And my Muradin game was fucking awful, but my Chen game was still on point, and I actually carried so fucking hard.
Yeah,
my Chen is still Return clean of the as King. Fuck. I'm sorry. Yeah. My Chen is still godly. But my Muradin game was fucking embarrassing, and I don't want to talk about it.
Also, I got like a random assortment, so, like same with others, junk all over the fucking place. I got like bills and shit like that. But I do keep some of the figures that I paint, just like on the desk and stuff like that. Like, because we had like a painting party watching Lord of the Rings,
Oh, sick.
So that was fun, like, a while ago. So I got, like, you know, my... Oh, God, what the hell was this? My Rat Hulk, basically. Well,
is that from Warhammer?
That's dope as shit.
No, it didn't specify Warhammer. Was basically... it was just in the selection and the D&D figures and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I was just kind of going painting stuff like that, so I just keep them up here. Dice... mask I might be working on. Like, I still have some of my old ones, like my Darkest Dungeon leper mask
from like sick. Many years
ago.
So
that's pretty sick.
I think this thing's over like 10 years old. So, but I just kind of keep things up here for space reasons.
Does it speak to you like the Green Goblin mask?
Oh, God, no. I mean, it's looking at me right now, but there's nothing behind those eyes. It's all...
You've never tried.
Believe me. I would, if it spoke to me, it would have already.
And it's a leper mask, so it would have been like, please just let me fucking die.
Please let it die. Please, I need moisturizer.
I have a new addition to the desk today. It's this book. It's Welcome to Roshar.
Oh, what is that? Yeah, boy.
It's Welcome to Roshar. Yeah. It's the like world guide for the Cosmere. The game.
Cosmere.
Cosmere series.
Not Cashmere, you fucking Cashmere.
The Cashmere. I mean, you read that book, it feels like Cashmere.
But it's really cool. It talks about like all the various like nations and peoples, and it has like, you know, maps and stuff, and it's like real a bunch of detail, because there's a lot of detail in those freaking books. So it's hard to remember to remember everything. So like thumbing through this, I was just like, oh, okay, okay. It's easier to put faces and looks to the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We played a little intro to that. Me and my brother did. It was a lot of fun.
when you're done with that book, can I have it, Kel? Because I want to read it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like really small. It's only like 30 or 40 pages.
That's a lot shorter than I was thinking.
I can read that on the toilet. So, on my desk, Kelly's I also like, have.
Never happy. Take it back.
I didn't say I would read it on the toilet.
I just said I could.
Theoretically,
if I wanted. Finish it. So I have, obviously, I have like my dice and stuff. I have a little Naboo fighter, like the like foot, you know, fighter ship. I have like. One of my favorites is this Dark Souls Black Knight. I had him for a while, and then I just added this. This is one of those like, it's like little like wood pieces that you put together, and it makes a little like 3D like picture. This is Chainsaw Man. Yeah, but my newest addition is the reason why I want to talk. Is the reason why I brought this topic up. This is a monster can turned into a mimic.
Cool. I love it.
That's extremely cool.
So one of the kids in youth group makes these.
Oh, sick!
And during the for Christmas, the youth group game was White Elephant, and with like 30 kids, it's hilarious. And one of them was one of that, and I was like, who made that? And then I was like, can I have one? And a week ago it was delivered to me, and I was like, yes! So I now just have a mimic monster can on my desk.
That's so cool.
It's fantastic. And I was like, I never knew, I always liked mimics, but to have one in the modern day of something that would bite my hand off as I was reaching mm-hmm. for it, I mean, it's pretty cool.
Shit, the sheer amount of people that are like, oh man, I need an energy drink right now. And then they're like, oh, perfect. Oh my God, you know.
It's got teeth. Ah! And then they died.
Speaking of dying,
Benson's mom.
Benson's mom.
Oh yeah.
Come on, man.
We ended last episode with Kezra getting a phone call from or a stone call.
Stone call.
From T Stonel.
T Stobel.
My stone's shaped like a early 2000s flip phone.
Yeah, oh like the Razor maybe?
No, earlier one. Like
Oh, wow. Okay, you're really going back.
Some old Motorola's.
Yeah, you can flavor it however you want.
Usually there's a late 90s, like the big, like the black, like box.
Yeah, yeah.
With like the antenna.
It's like the size of your forearm.
No, not that far back. Not that. It's like the classy, right, like late 90s businessman classic.
I know where you're going. Yeah.
With the antenna that comes out.
So specific.
I see the vision he has, though. Anyway, Benson's mom was apparently not doing well, according to Lionel. She said that a letter was delivered. It was addressed to Benson, but she opened it and saw the news in there. And she said that we need to go. You guys have been gone for, I want to say it's been like a day or two, I think. It has not been that long, to be honest. Because you guys fought the ghosts, fought the slimes and the worm, fought through the gugs, and then walked around the city for a while. I think you spent one night here, and then you started doing investigating. So I think it's been about 2 days tops.
Yeah, then we got into a fight with four heavily armed dwarves. I mean,
yeah. I know.
Busy 2 days.
Can you believe I fit a whole 11-part side quest into a into that 2 day stretch? So, with that being said, Benson has to go home. He has to go back through the gate and then to the Citadel, and then from there, he has to go back to I forget where your castle, where your actual home is.
Graceful.
No, it's in Elidir. No, not Elidir.
No, I think that's right, actually, because I know it's in Isgur.
Yes.
Yeah. But I think it was Elidir. So that's why, because you were like, I'm going to leave. And then you just kind of like went not that far away. And then then your family was like, did he go like a town over? Like it was like not that far. They were just like, he'll come back. So your family is from the capital of Elidir.
Yes.
So yeah, it's like, it's not that far. But if you're, family is calling you home for something, it's serious. So when Lionel tells you this, what do you say?
Well, Benson is obviously like, this is something he has to do, but he is a champion to his core and he doesn't want to leave these people, but at the same time, this is not something you can ignore. So Benson will look to Garn. I have to go.
I understand.
And Benson will give Garn his full complement of gold.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Yeah, which is like...
just drops a fat stack of gold. Like, I'm not even kidding you. This is, like, a lot of gold.
Oh, Lionel says, could you please bring all the money in?
Ah, shit. My family's rich. They don't need that shit.
Yeah.
Like, they already have, like, four castles or something.
An ingot of Dawn Silver worth 5K. Just chilling.
Yeah. Yeah, but of, like, straight up just loose gold, it's, like, more than 3K. And I just... dropping.
Oh my gosh.
Benson, I don't know if I can take this.
You can and you will. I'm also, I mean, Benson's literally taking like his sword, shield, and armor is worth way fucking more than that.
That's true.
It's like, see ya.
This is literal pocket change, dude.
I'm kind of wearing the GDP of a small nation right now.
You could buy Breach Hill with everything you're wearing. So.
Yeah. But, Benson, I mean, I imagine he's got to talk to somebody who can either teleport or get him out. Because he can't just... We only have one key for the gate, so...
Well, yeah, but...
We could escort you.
Yeah, we could escort you.
Yeah.
Benson, this is, we're going with you. At least as far as you'll let us. We can't just... You can't go alone. Let us at least accompany you back to Breach Hill. You know that the way is dangerous.
I thank you for everything. It's going to have to be as fast as we can make it. You can't leave these people here without help.
Well, Scarlet Triad has already wriggled the tendrils in here somewhat deep. I imagine a few days won't make all that much difference in the grand scheme of things. But Kezra, you would know better, I suppose. You've dealt with them on a scale of this... on a city scale. What say you?
Kezra's just, he's just sitting there with, his jaw set real tight, and just like,
you're gonna leave? After all of this? After all we've been through, you're leaving.
I don't have a choice, Kezra.
Adalar died for this. Grimshaw died for this. There's a lot at stake here. Look, you do what you gotta do. This is all I've got anymore.
And he just like,
let me know when you want to leave.
And he just kind of like hightails it. He doesn't go far. He just like walks away.
The wizard that you guys were talking with, Archmage Nalrovin, he's like, that sorcerer, I was speaking with you, if you don't, and he like follows you out. He is so bad at reading the room.
Perfect. I mean, like a typical wizard. I mean,
right,
like
a typical wizard. Oh yeah, my mother just fallen ill. But anyway,
no points in charisma, man. That's pretty much it. But speaking of charisma, that is something that, or same thing, he's just kind of like stone-faced for a moment, kind of like a half-disappointed smile, but he's mulling it in his head. He is not saying anything, because he knows this is important, but at the same time...
it's a lot. As Kezra and all these people... Well, I know I can trust at least one of you to stay out of trouble. I'm literally trying to decide something right now. Should I give something to Kezra, or should I give it to Ambrose? Because I don't think either of them can do this.
What is it?
What is it?
My cloak of the mountebank.
Oh, okay. I thought it was the small, dried, mummified bat.
No, this is quite literally one of my most valued possessions. I'm trying to figure out who should... Because, how many cloaks does Kezra have now? Two.
Kezra walked out of the room, so I'm just saying.
I just got a cloak.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a badass bearskin cloak.
Yeah, the berserker cloak.
Well, I can trust to keep you to keep them safe, Kezra. But this will help in at least a time of need. Keep it safe until I can return and we can finish this fight together. I will give Ambrose my cloak of the mountain back.
That's actually awesome for Ambrose.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Insanely good friend.
Yes. Yes. I was just thinking
that. Because at first I was like, I want to give it to Kessler because we have this long-term like friendship kind of thing going, but at the same time, he can fly and shit. So
he can fly and do everything else. I mean,
he can fly. Oh, he can fly.
I was going to give it to my friend, but I said, fuck him.
Yeah. Also, Ambrose is like juggling two characters that are tied to each other as a health pool. So like being able to spontaneously get back to one or something.
Oh yeah,
it's pretty useful.
That yeah, not to mention like just being able to teleport is fantastic to have. And I also remember the Count of the Montback is pretty gorgeous looking. So it's perfect.
Oh, it's fly as shit.
Yeah.
It complements his, his outfit. So
Benson didn't need it. He looked cool anyway. But I would like to say that this is a temporary gift. I will be back. I will fight this fight with you again.
Well, I dare hope so. I will treasure it until you come back.
We swear on our lives that we will continue the fight, Benson. And I know you are a man of your word. I know you shall return. For no knight of your caliber can keep away from the fight for too long.
I don't expect any of you all to thank me for leaving. It hurts my heart more than I could even say to walk away from you right now. But I will be back. And keep Kessler in line until I do.
You're leaving Kessler with two basically strangers.
Dude, he doesn't want to do this, alright? This wasn't...
You know how Kessler deals with things with strangers? He shows up in their rooms half-naked with his claw out.
That was nuts. But Benson was the only one that was just like, "Get back to bed, dude." Everyone else is gonna just be like, "What the police?"
I mean, I didn't have a problem beating the shit out of him. So,
it's at this point, Fraston is just like, "Benson, if you don't mind, I'd like to pray for your family," and he puts his hands out. And he, everyone, bow your heads.
I only pray to Iomade.
Punch him.
Take out your mini anvil and hammer.
What, you guys don't have one?
Just me, okay. Country.
Torag, we come to you in this time. We ask for your protection and your healing over Benson's family. And we ask for protection and guidance as he makes the trip home. And Tori, just pour out your blessings unto him. Keep him safe and keep the joy in his heart and let him know that his shield will be there when he needs it, just as you have always commanded. In Torag's name, we pray.
Ting. Ting 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 ting. Garn just looks around like, "What, y'all don't have the..." This is a dwarf thing.
Was that a hammer and chisel?
A hammer and an anvil.
Oh, yeah, a little anvil.
Yeah.
You don't use a chisel with an anvil, Kelly. God.
Dummy. What do you know? How much you know about Torax?
I mean, Kessler is famously irreligious.
Yeah.
But also, he can be religious when he feels like it.
Yeah, he just, like, makes deals with, you know, devil dragons. Yep.
Dude, who among us hasn't made a deal with a devil dragon?
Yeah, right. I've also been into Abadar.
He who hasn't made a deal with a devil dragon cast the first stone.
Kessler chooses his god however he's vibing.
Yeah, is the vibe right?
He's vibe-godding.
I vibe-god.
Vibe-god. Well,
I am not a true believer. I am a total...
dabble.
Whatever. Bandwagon believer.
Yes. Yeah. Bandwagon believer. Love it.
Nolravin, he's chase down Kesra, and Kesra keeps ignoring him, and he's clearly like, are you listening to me? I've been asking you questions as we've been walking down the street.
What do you want?
Well, if you're planning on going now, I believe there was a family affair that needed to be situated. If you're going now, I will need to gather some materials and an apprentice to go with me.
You better make it quick, because it sounds like he wants to go now.
Okay, and then he teleports away.
Finally.
Kesra finds like a mushroom light on the ground, guys... and he just burns it. Blows up some trash in the street.
you hear a dwarf child go, no, that was lunch. you guys make arrangements to meet at the gate.
That's the gate that like lets people in and out of the city, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so when you get there, because you have Null Rav in there, they ask zero questions. They just let you in, or let you out, I should say. Mm-hmm. While you're at the gate, though, and you're waiting, Null Rav approaches, and he's carrying just a bunch of stuff. He just has he clearly has a bag of holding on his side. And he still has a bunch of shit in his hands. Like, he's just... It's like, all the stuff he had couldn't fit in the fucking bag of holding.
Definitely maxed intelligence, the wisdom...
Yeah, exactly.
Honestly, though, there are so many times where I literally have a bag on my back and I'll just be carrying a bunch of stuff, like... Wait a second.
I too am a father and have done that many times. So when the time comes, Null Rav'n has shown up, and like I said, he has all the stuff, and he has a person with him. And the person kind of has their hood up, and they're carrying like some other stuff too. It's just like Null Rav'n just had so much stuff he wanted to take, because hearing about this gate, he is ready to do some research. He's ready to take copious notes. He's ready to start like. Doing all sorts of tests and everything like that. Like, he has no idea what he's going to expect, so he's taking everything to figure it out. While he is going through some of his things, and he's starting to, like, ask Kesra stuff as they're, like, opening up the gate, Benson is sort of obviously lost in thought. He is thinking about all the stuff that he has going on home, so he seems a little out of it. But you all look at the apprentice that Null Rav'n brought with him. John, what does this person look like?
So, this particular dwarf, you would look at him by his stature, but you would be immediately be wrong. Not fully, because the shock of white hair that is pulled up into a knot on top of his head, which transitions into a very closely cut beard into a small knot in front of his chin. He is not old, but his dwarven heritage grants him his facial hair. But his skin is a dark coal color. And you realize that this is not a dwarf. This is a Hyrogar.
The Hringar are the
Hringar.
Yeah, are they the new name for Duragar?
Oh, sick!
He is wearing a robe over his body, but you can see very slightly that he is covered in tattoos. And his are Hringars? Do they have specific eye colors, or is it anything?
I think it can be anything. I think most of the time, because there's some history there. They usually have a very unsettling set of eyes. So as he's describing this, I want you guys to roll society check right now, because a Hringar here in Kovlar kind of strikes you, because this is the only dwarf that you've seen with this ashen colored skin.
Can I roll knowledge five kings and mountains?
Yes, you may.
Yeah. I'm getting my money's worth of this lore. Oh, crack die. Oh.
I got 30.
I got 25.
It would be a critical success for both of you, as it is not hard to figure out the fact that Hrungar are usually horribly evil.
Yes.
Awful things. If you know anything about them, you know that they are they separated from their cousins, the regular dwarves, long ago, when I think it was before Skyfall even, or maybe it was like right after, but like the quest for the sky is where the dwarves started making their way to the surface, and the Hrungar stayed below.
They didn't want none of that shit.
They didn't want none of that. And so ever since then, they have just been a force of pure tyranny in the Darklands. And so they've always talked about them as like boogeymen almost. But seeing one, you're like, why is no one else talking about the dwarf in the room?
Yeah, Gazra's like, well, that's not something you see every day.
Quite fascinating.
So what was the magic user's name again?
Archmage Norvin.
Norvin. So Garn kind of nudges Norvin and is like, what's with the... is it your apprentice? Don't really see too many of them around Dwarven settlements in recent years.
He looks at him and goes, "But you don't often see apprentices?"
You may not catch my meaning. So Garn is let's just say his hand is at the ready, because it's just a clashing steel, not in a friendly way.
Oh boy.
Kezra just kind of sits back on the
well, I was worried you were going to be that slacker from the front desk the other day, so that's a relief. what's your story?
Oh, you're talking to him?
Yeah, I'm talking to you.
My story's the same as anyone else's. I'm just here doing my work.
And what work is that?
Oh, God. Trying to understand this gate.
What business do you have with the gate?
What business do you have with the gate?
Well, I came through it.
Yeah, it's kind of our gate.
How did you come through it? Pulls out notes.
Well, you see, we have this key, and I held it aloft, the magic seemed to activate it. I'm curious. Wait a second.
Wait a minute.
Gets you talking quite
using
quite
my
easy.
old cootness against me, and my gift of gab.
The trick is to tell a story that goes
hair-shaped dwarves now. Tend to be very talkative if you just talk to them about their gab.
Yeah. Can never shut Garn up. Yapping. Yeah, Kezra will pull out the eye of the wise. He's like,
he goes, "We use this as the key he's talking about."
May I?
Sure, but don't go far.
Oh, never. Starts looking at it and casts identify spell on it. Literally start sketching it right there.
Yeah. I was gonna say that the I don't know if Nullriven looked at it yet, or I think he probably saw it. I don't know if he like really identified it though.
I'm sure Kelly would or Kezra would have kind of dodged the. Yeah. Oh, let me hold it. Like maybe later.
Yeah. Maybe not.
My story is that I came here, I came with an open mind, and it then took me. Simple as that.
You have a name?
You can call me Sandor.
Love it. Good name, good name.
It is a good name. It's a really good name.
And if you guys are making notes, his full name is Sandor Bosk.
Ooh.
Sandor Bosk. Ooh.
Rolls off the tongue on that, too.
It does. God dang, it's a good name. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like he's going to be important or anything. Mm-hmm.
So tell me, you just decided to seek apprenticeship here in a city of undead and stumble across a dwarven settlement?
We all find ourselves in interesting places when you travel outside of your home. I mean, I can't imagine that you had imagined yourself in a city of undead, did you?
No, I can't say I expected to see my cousin, one of the council members, either. You think someone is dead and missing, they have a tendency of turning up.
Yes, family have a way of doing such.
Indeed they do. And then he kind of, I don't know, kind of like talk about family, kind of glances over at Benson, little, you know, who seems quite preoccupied and distressed. Indeed they do. Anyways, you're a sure apprentice of the High Mage, then. Suppose you have already been vetted.
I've been here for some time, yes.
Right.
Dang, how long is this gate going to take to open?
Yeah, it's kind of awkward at this point.
wait, we're already at the gate.
It's just a loading bar. Like, all right. We got about 50 minutes left.
I kind of thought we were still at Brute. I love that we're just in front of the gate, and the gate's like just getting cranked up.
I like to think the Archmage is like, it needs a Microsoft update.
Windows is getting ready with your updates.
Fuck Microsoft! Right.
It's the thing where the loading screen goes and it gets to the end and then it starts over and you're like, oh,
come on,
that's not percentage. It's just telling me it's working.
Let me into the undead city. So,
so that means we get to pass the corpse of the giant purple worm or the cave worm,
and all the corpses of the freaking
the gugs.
Yeah, the gugs. Yeah,
yeah.
You guys walk out. Narvin cast the most powerful light spell you've ever seen. And he puts it like. the Sandor automatically goes.
He's permanently blind.
Fuck!
Sorry, I do that every time.
God damn it.
So this light spell is just casting on you guys, and you would. At first, you're like, oh, we want to be, like, stealthy and protected. Or we want to be, you know, we don't want a spotlight on us.
Exactly what
we also realize. But the thing is that the light is what keeps the undead away.
Mm.
So if you're in the dark, that's where they get you. So it's like, you have light on yourself, then the undead can't come near you. If you remember the Parjil Longbrage, she was the first dwarf that you guys had met here. Right. They just had torches, and that was enough.
Right.
But he's using magically enhanced light in order to protect himself, and you guys.
He's using Apple Eye Light.
Yeah,
I will paid for the premium. I see.
Yeah.
So you guys begin walking through the undead city of Sir Chorus. Every few minutes or so, you see something darting from one building to another. You see a shadow slip under a door. You see just two eyes staring at you from just an empty building in the windows. And you see it follow you, and then it darts in from one window to the next and just like keeps watching you. Just these eyes constantly aware.
Oh.
I kind of love it. It's fun. It's like the visual of it is kind of very amusing.
And there are certain points when you will see like a figure sort of like creeping towards you, and it like crawls along the ground, and as it like reaches you, the light sort of like keeps it at bay, and you hear like sizzle, and it like, and it like crawls away.
Oh. Hideous creatures.
Tell me.
No,
to the archmage, like, tell me, can all these creatures be kept away by the light? Do some venture in?
No. We've taken extensive work to make sure that the light is exactly what keeps them at bay. There have been no undead getting past the gate down there.
Very well.
Seems suspicious. I don't know why that sounds suspicious.
Though I must admit, I don't know if they just don't want to, or if they just haven't tried yet. Interesting.
And he just keeps walking. Leaving that hanging.
Guess that's why they gotta prepare for a siege, right?
Yep.
High walls.
You'll often find the Archmage wandering off in times of conversation. Don't take it personally.
That's usually what happens with people of his intellect, I would say.
What was that? I walk on.
Oh, a smart mouth as well.
Spending too much time around these rambling elders.
He looks like Garn.
Everyone looks at Garn.
Garn just kind of looks around like, why is everyone staring at me?
Is there something in my teeth?
Do the weird slow blink thing.
And he's like, what? And he just slow blinks.
One eye closes. You're like, oh. Strangely adorable. I don't know why.
Is Kezra the youngest?
Oh my gosh.
Because I don't know how old Ambrose is.
Ambrose is late 20s.
Okay.
No, then you're definitely younger. Kezra's, okay. Kezra's 45.
Kezra's like in his 40s.
I was about to say, but he was older than Benson.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Ambrose was... Yeah, he was around 29, 30, roughly.
Okay.
So, he was the middle child.
Yeah. So, eventually, you guys get to, deeper into the city, and, this is where, Null Raven starts asking for directions. He's
like, we explored up here, there was nothing up this way, but you say it was past here.
That's right.
Garn kind of turns around and is like, I don't actually remember. So long ago.
It was... Whatever. Yes, it should be around here. Because it was, like, right around the entrance. It looked like a crypt on top of a giant staircase, right?
Yeah. Oh. So it was...
Damn it. I kind of assumed that we brought one of the people who escorted us to the city. Like, I mean... This would be really hard to remember.
The pitch black.
Thinking about this logically, like, there's no fucking way we would be able to get back with no map.
We went that way.
With literally no concept of where we came from other than we followed somebody.
Torchlight. Yeah.
So yeah, I kind of assumed we would have had to go find one of those dudes.
Okay, so you realize you're lost, and you go back, and you're like, "Is Harshil here?"
Okay, good. We didn't get too far, man. Hope not.
Well, that's the adventure. He's like, "You realize you're lost?" No, you're just lost. Have fun.
You get Harshil, and she walks you back to where her patrol was that she found that she came upon you guys. We fast forward all the way back. the hour walk it takes to get there.
Oh my gosh.
And you guys get to a place called Hall of the Devouring Giants. So
tell me, why do you call it this?
I'll go back and read it. This hall was once an event hall built against the encircling wall of stone that surrounds all of Sagarok. The wall was constructed by the dwarves as a sort of inner shell to the vast cavern, in part as decoration and in part as protection. It provided a decorative boundary to Sagarok, and at the time of its creation, magical glyphs along the wall helped protect those who dwelt within. This magic has long ago faded. But you recognize this place that, like, it was like a debate chamber and stuff like that. You remember looking at, like, some of the hieroglyphics and everything that were in it. So you come up to this, and like I said, there's, like, a long staircase that goes up into it. And Pargil is just like, thanks, bye. Then she leaves. You guys open up the doors. Let me bring y'all back.
Oh yeah.
Oh. Just as soon as we walk in, make sure you cover your mouth. There's a bit of a mold issue.
All right, Kazra had to ferry us across one by one. I remember
God
this now.
Goddamn mold room.
I hate that room.
It out of my memory.
Remember we tried to, like, scrape it up?
It was such a nightmare trying to deal with a stupid mold.
The partial reason for that, too, is because of the fact that usually you'd be like, oh, we'll just use fire, but fire doesn't work. It specifically, like, is, like, resistant to
just
fire.
Just the makeup of this room, the creatures that were in it, the tight, narrow hallway just made it just a logistical nightmare.
Yeah, the Gugs were just like, oh shit, this stuff is good. Like, whatever. Like, everyone else is weak against it, but the Gugs were fine. Which really was infuriating.
Yep.
Wow.
So you guys are back in the back in the place now. I don't have Sandor's token yet. We'll see if we need it. How about that? Yeah. Ben's still here. Although he's probably on the phone with his sister. I mean, he's just like, what? No, I heard you. I was
the entire time reception's going in and out.
Yeah.
You would think, because it's a rock communication, that it would resonate through the rocks better.
Oh man, I'm gonna put the stupid the cell phone that I'm thinking about. I'm gonna put it in our chat.
Please do.
Oh, please do. Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
This bad boy right here.
Oh, oh yeah. That,
oh, wow.
Yeah,
that's
Motorola.
Glorious.
I don't even know what it is. Just the original Motorola.
Wow.
You can talk on the phone and use it to cut your bread.
See, honestly, I was thinking, until you said flip phone, I was thinking of this phone.
No, not that far back.
That phone's chonk.
Late 90s, not early 90s.
Alright, there he is. Archmage Hrumgar Nullriven. Make sure to bring him over too. There he is.
There he is.
Yep. So when you guys come up to this room, you can smell the fungus, and you can also smell a hint of rotting Gug flesh.
That must be some nasty.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever smelled
something.
What kind
of horrible underground critters are feasting on these bodies?
Ugh.
Probably nothing for a while until something actually comes by. The thing is, there's one thing that we didn't take care of, and it was that Grikatog. There's a creature called Grikatog somewhere around here.
You encountered one and lived?
Yes. Well,
It's
just closed the door.
Yeah, we closed the door. Took a good chomp out of the pear-shaped body here, but
No, that part was already gone.
We were all too pussy to fight it, except for Benson.
Benson was trying.
So till that thing, like, freaking could grab and hold you in place and just keep biting you.
Yeah.
Oh, memories.
But we have a powerful spellcaster with us now, and their apprentice. We should be fine.
Right.
If we encounter him, we will easily destroy it. Let's just go.
Kind of start, like, grabbing people and ferrying them across.
If you want to do that, Null Raven will just cast Fly.
Perfect.
And he'll just fly across the room.
Yeah, so Sandor literally just looks at the sea of fungus and just blinks out of existence for a second and shows up on the other side.
Oh, sick.
Wizards.
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 Let's grab Ambrose and Garn, just dragon wings.
Give me uppies. I want uppies. Come on.
Uppies, please.
Uppies, please. Oh, your group's so tight.
Okay.
God, all right, so is strong.
Such powerful biceps.
Does Kezra even look at Benson when he ferries him across?
He's not talking to Benson.
When you get across, you walk past the room that had the ghoul, I think it was a ghoul or a ghast, I'm trying to remember.
It was a ghoul, right?
Yeah, it was a ghoul named Deadmouth.
Now he's dead.
And, now he's real dead.
Oh, and the bat thing.
Yeah. So, the bat thing, one, you see a bunch of, like, I want to say, like, whatever the equivalent of the Underdark carrion would be. Just like tiny insects and tiny little like centipedes, like stuff like that. They're just like eating
roly-polies, arthropods.
Yes. so many little roly-polies and stuff. But do you see the creature that was the bat thing? That it is up in the corner of the spot, and when you look over, you can see it's just like tearing flesh from one of the gug arms. Just like scarfing it down every time. Doesn't seem to be impressed with you guys. He doesn't seem to be scared, but he's also very like, I mean, I'm not messing with six dudes.
Yeah, he should be scared.
I mean, he's like, I got food, man. Thumbs up.
So you guys are able to get through here. You come up to the giant like crevice, the crag in the wall that you guys had to squeeze through, and you get up to that, and Null Raven sort of looks at it, and he sees the split in the wall and how it breaks the fresco that was like painted onto the stone, and he's just like, oh, this breaks my heart. History just cleaved in twain. It's tragic. Simply tragic, this is.
Well, all things succumb to time and its wear, does it not? Even our bodies, they break down eventually, hearty as they may be. Surely the stone, its force too must return to the forge, does it not?
You are right, Garn. But we still must mourn, for even time brings rocks to pebbles. No matter. On we go.
And he casts
Would
some...
Would you like me to open this up for us?
Oh, please, Andor.
Sandor will touch the wall and cast Pass Wall.
Oh.
Which opens up a temporary 5-foot area, 10 feet tall.
Gotta get the gear through.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
I like to think anytime Sandor does any spell casting, Garn is just like ready to hit him. Like,
he's casting a spell.
You're like, dude, just, he's helping.
I mean, we traveled for a couple hours. I think, you know, the initial shot kind of wore off.
Okay.
Yeah, he's passing the vibe check.
And by the way, Sandor uses a what looks like a mace. The head of the mace is almost a open book, and at the center of it is a purple gem that he kind of uses as a rod. That is his spellcasting focus.
Ooh,
nice.
I like it.
That's sick. How did you come across something such as that? Can't say I've seen it before.
I made it.
Good craftsmanship.
Aren't we all craftsmen, brother?
Indeed we are. Cousin.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's mean. Oh, that's mean as shit. Somebody calls you brother and you say cousin.
Like said, he's passed the vibe check, but he's still a crotchety 250-year-old dwarf.
Sandor for the hug, and you stiff armed him. Essentially, you said, "No, wait."
Just Sandor is looking at Kezra, going like, and mouthing, "Ow, like, catty."
Kezra just pipes up. He's like, "Well, we don't all have time to share our arts and crafts. Let's get going." He just takes off down the hall.
Well, he seems like a bitch.
You have no idea.
It doesn't grow on you.
And you never get used to it. So eventually you guys get through the now, easily now, you get through the tunnel that was just created by Sandor. When you get past that, you travel for, I think it's like 1,000 feet, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And you eventually come up to the crystal tunnels. So there are a few of the... There's a few spots of crystals that are sort of, like, splotched around, and they glow. They glow with this faint color. And this hue sort of, like, is indicated way off in the distance, so you know you guys are getting close. And the smell that you begin to perceive here as you come up is not worse than the Gugs, by far. But you still smell a large amount of rot starting.
The worm.
And the worm. When you get there, you find that the more of the carrion here has started to, like, burrow into this. The isopods and beetles of the Underdark have started to, like, tear away bits of it. I always imagine with something like this, like, you ever see, like, when a whale carcass falls to the bottom of the ocean?
Yeah. Oh,
whale
and then
fall.
They take... Yeah,
becomes an ecosystem.
And then the all,
oh, yeah.
All on its
really
own,
cool.
All on its own. It's incredible. But I imagine something like that is here. So there's like creatures that like maybe Sandor only knows of, but there's like some Underdark beetles and stuff like that that are just like munching away at the corpse of this huge or no gargantuan purple worm.
How long ago was this? How long ago did this creature pass?
It was only a couple days ago.
At least 2 days, at the most.
We all end up in the worm's mouth anyway.
One way or another.
One thing I don't remember if Kezra did this or not, but he wanted to detect magic on the purple worm to see if it has consumed any magical goodies from other people it's eaten.
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know if I don't remember that, but let me see.
Might as well. Didn't someone try to take like the stinger off of it?
That surprised me.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Anybody with survival could easily take one of those. So let me see. Worm nest. There is no treasure listed here. So yeah, if you cast the detect magic through it, you don't sense any magic. And it might be just because you know, that you, when you do detect magic, you can feel a lot of the magic coming off of the crystals as well, because they do resonate with just this, like, innate crystal magic. And so you kind of scan it over for a little while, and you're just like, I don't know if I'm just not seeing anything, or if the crystals are interfering, but you don't think it's worth digging through the corpse, at least. And you eventually get to the gate. So the gate, as you remember, was the gate of to Uriel, or Ural, who was the elven god or goddess. I don't remember if it was a god or goddess, but they're the elven god of uncut gems. And so they, so it's decorated with all of these, like, fantastic looking gems, but none of them are cut and fit to sell. Like, they'd all have to be worked. And so when all of you approach, Nolriven is just like, it was here. It was here the whole time. Sandor, look, here, take this out. And he starts, like, taking out crystal balls and this kit and that kit and this one and that staff and this table and this. And he's taking out, like, all this. He's pouring out stuff out of this bag that you're like, that is the highest level bag of holding I've ever seen.
A whole workbench, like, comes out.
We must ponder the orb.
It's like that scene from the Sword of the Stone animated movie when Merlin's just, like, has a suitcase and he's just putting stuff in.
Yep. It just keeps going.
Yeah, it just keeps going. It's just this.
What do you mean it was here the whole time? Have you been searching for it?
No. All of my studies are for defense against the undead, but to think that something as magnificent as an elf gate, these are legendary. Have you read about these, Gon? Because I have, Sandor and I have read plenty of things, but we assume they were lost to time.
I only know a little bit of what this group has filled me in, but legendary do not come up in conversation. I know of the elf gates, but I thought they were quite prolific, but perhaps I was mistaken.
Maybe even prolific before Earthfall. Not prolific nowadays. And Sandor is just, like, making chalk outlines of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Nolriven, he kind of forgot the whole thing with Benson. And he's doing, like, chalk rubbings.
Benson's just sitting there smoking a cigarette.
The iconography on it.
Classic autistic wizard scientist.
Love it.
Hyperfixation is there.
Yeah. So as they are sort of starting their work, Benson, you see the gate ahead, and you know that when they activate it and you walk through, like, you are not going to be able to come back.
Oh, I kind of forgot about that.
I mean, he'll have the stone from his sister.
Right.
But if I ever make a new stone because we need it for us, then that one becomes inert.
Ooh. Right. So I think we need it. We have to have a contact back to the castle.
Yeah, that's why I don't intend to change it. But, you know, shit happens.
I was going to say, like, if you guys get lost down here, you know, if you have to split for some reason, like, that's such a good communicator. And then it's like, I have to communicate with the people I'm directly in that I'm doing this with, not people at Castle that are just kicking their feet up all day.
Lazy freeloaders. Why do we even keep them around?
I mean, we keep them around to keep tabs on Breach Hill.
That's true.
I mean, one of the correspondences we've heard is, like, why aren't we taking Breach Hill, you know? So, the why aren't we taking it implies it will be tried to be taken sooner or later, which is why we spent so much money refurbing the castle. I mean, Grimshaw and Adelar and them.
Yeah, I guess we have to... Who gets the stone left with? Who gets the stone? Because if Lionel and Benson are leaving, Hazel. There's.
It's just like.
I would say out of all of them, Hazel might be the most responsible.
Yeah.
Giving it to Pippinzarf would be way more fun, though.
She is.
Yes, they would. Who are you going to get on the line?
They would never stop talking to you. they would call you to settle like regular debates.
Yes.
It'll be Kezra trying to sneak somewhere, and then all of a sudden they'll be like, "Who's taller?" You're like,
"Not Kezra."
Emergencies it's me. Only.
Pip,
you getting tied up in your own underwear is not an emergency.
Benson, there's only 3 eggs. Who gets the 2 and who gets the 1?
I'm gonna kill him. Benson looks at everybody, and he's clearly not happy with the situation, but he doesn't really have a choice. Iomide, bless and guard all of you. I hope to one day be fighting by your side again, sir.
If this thing goes the way these things tend to go with expansive criminal organizations that span halfway across the continent, I'm sure we'll see each other quite soon.
Yes, of course. It was a short-lived reunion, but I do hope to see you again, at least on the side of the living. Perhaps.
Oh, it takes far more than anything in this world to kill me, Ambrose. Did you know that by now?
Oh, of course. Far too many hits to the head of that, of those maces. And it's like a painful smile, kind of just
there.
You know. But please hurry back when you can.
And Kezra, who's just been hanging back, he's been just keeping his distance from Benson, reaches into his bag, pulls out the Eye of the Wise, like walks across the room to Benson standing next to the gate. And he just like comes up, gets up next to you. And then he turns and he grabs the edge of your breastplate and just like yanks you in and he goes,
"I will finish this, Benson. I will see this to the end. And if you make your way back here, you will be welcome, friend. And I will be waiting."
And then he activates the Eye of the Wise so the gate opens up.
If you want me to make a grapple check, I will.
No, he like releases and then like kind of just like gives
no,
you
he
like
releases.
No, I'm giving you a hug whether you want it or not.
Oh, okay.
He's like, no, he releases before he does retribution.
Retributive hug.
It's a good hug.
But aww. Then Benson does kind of shove you back, as kind of just, and then gives you like a friendly smile, like a, I know you're tough enough, motherfucker. And and Benson walks through.
And Benson leaves. We see him talking to his sister, and you don't hear anything. And you see him like debating with Pip and Zarf, and like Hazel is trying to like tell them to go somewhere. She's not mean enough to like let them talk to you while you're about to go like home to whatever's happening. And as you guys are just standing on the other side of the gate, and you probably sit there for a minute just thinking about the fact that, like, you know, you don't know when you're going to see him again. You don't know if your adventures down here are going to take you so far away or if you're even going to live through it. And you sort of all just, like, stand there in awe of the fact that, like, there's a new chapter now and Benson and his shield aren't there. And about 60 seconds of silence pass before you hear a scream deep back in Sackrock.
Ah! Ah!
anybody.
And I'll see you guys next time.
No, I want to keep playing.
It's a trap. Ain't nobody out there.